New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, an emergency live podcast recording this late on a Saturday night for good reason. The Kings didn't just make a move today.
Mm-mm.
They ain't just like dip their toes in the water in free agency. That was a cannonball. Splash! The Sacramento Kings land the biggest free agent that they've ever landed in Kings history. A 6-time All-Star. A 3-time All-NBA talent. Just a certified bucket. The Kings have landed DeMar DeRozan in a 3-team sign-and trade, with DeRozan coming to Sacramento and agreeing to terms on a 3-year, $74 million deal. Harrison Barnes, after 6 years in Sacramento, he is headed to join Greg Popovich, Victor Wembanyama, Chris Paul, and the San Antonio Spurs. They also get an unprotected pick swap in 2031. Will the world be here in 2031? Oh. We'll find out.
Yeah.
And then Chris Duarte, salute him. His one season with the Kings, he has been traded to the Chicago Bulls. A lot to break down.
Oh.
The Kings just landed a 6-time All-Star to go with De'Aaron Fox, to go with Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray. They re-signed Malik Monk, who had a press conference today and was beyond thrilled to stay in Sacramento. And he knew for a while he was staying in Sacramento. There was no doubt in his mind he was staying in Sacramento. Is he ready to come off the bench, start? He said, I'm cool with whatever. I want to start. There's so much to go over tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we had the California Classic Summer League. Why did we bury the lead, Morgan Reagan?
You did.
DeMar DeRozan. Oh, we get an alert. Woj says it's happening. And what do you know? DeMar DeRozan comes out of the tunnel with Not Like Us going off in the background, getting one of the most epic ovations in Golden 1 Center history at a Summer League game.
Yeah.
Morgan Reagan, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing great. It was a different energy there, especially when everyone knew DeMar DeRozan was in the building and still wasn't finalized. And it's like still in the process of finalizing whatever. But then when you saw the Kings are finalizing, and then you see all the photoshops of DeMar DeRozan in a Kings jersey, and it's like, holy shit, this is real. And then the crowd popping when he did come out. There's nothing like summer league, or there's nothing like basketball in Sacramento. It's a summer league game, and you're getting that type of energy in the gym. And because everyone knows what's going on, everyone knows about DeMar DeRozan and this entire process. So, yeah, it was really cool to see it finally get to this stage.
The news came out during the end of the first game. It was Hornets Spurs. I was on the call and I saw it pop up on my phone, and I heard people in the crowd see their phones and start making some noise. I'm like, oh man, it's spreading. And then he comes out. Like,
This was magical tonight. This was magical that DeMar DeRozan was here, agrees to the deal, and then comes out to get an ovation from Kings fans. And look, man, DeMar DeRozan's been in the league a long time. I'm sure he's very aware of Sacramento fans,
yeah.
But it's different when you experience and you're getting showered with love. He walks out on a July 6th and looking around, seeing most of the lower bowl full for summer league basketball.
Yes.
That's just going to fire him up.
I must say, didn't you have a tweet before anything was even out there? And it was about some of your stupid wrestling things, and you're like, how cool would that be?
I said, here's what I said. Because last night, Damian Barling and others started to really dig in and say, there's some news. There's yeah. something going on with DeMar. And I was like, oh, it'd be just epic. It'd be a totally wrestling move tomorrow night, is if there was like lights go out before tip off, pyro, Not Like Us comes on, and then DeMar DeRozan comes out with Malik and De'Aaron Fox. And it was, hey, that was kind of funny. It didn't happen exactly like that, but it kind
of
did.
And like the premise of it, and the fact that that was kind of the timeline that everything went down. I know you wanted it theatrical like that. I know you didn't get your pyro or your fireworks, but you got your song.
It was dope.
And you
it
got
dope.
DeMar DeRozan to obviously get closer and closer to finalizing a deal with Sacramento.
So let's talk about how we got here, right? Yes. Because there have been so many rumors about the Sacramento Kings, and it felt like, you know, as free agency got started, the only move you heard at the start of free agency was Alex Len. Malik Monk, his agreement came, a week before that. But everyone's expecting, oh, what are the Kings going to do? What are the Kings going to do? They're in the Ingram. They're in the marketing. What kind of move are they going to make? And it was Alex Len, and fans were getting irritated. Fans were like, what's Monty cooking? Oh, does he know how to cook? He's burning stuff. He doesn't even know how to cook.
Kind of funny.
Monty, you haven't made a trade in 2 years. What the hell? You know, like,
yeah.
He was getting crushed.
Roasted.
Hey, best boy, what you going to do? Hey, take off your vest. People are like, we're going to burn vests. I hate vests. And then tonight, Monty comes out of the tunnel and is like, Monty. The patience pays off. But it's interesting thinking about how we got here because, you know, it's July 6th. Free agency started June 30th. Not a lot going on. Okay. Mark Spears the other day on NBA Today in a spin the wheel segment.
Yeah.
And Malika like sets him up. Hey, what's your like bull prediction or something? He goes, I got to tell you, DeMar DeRozan, Dark Horse Sacramento, look out. They're going to make moves. I was like, it's a spin the wheel segment. And I text Mark. I'm like, really? He goes, Dark Horse, I'm telling you. I'm like, okay, we'll see. And we've heard the Kings tied to so many guys. Yeah. Siakam, OG.
So many. And we always hear the almost, yeah. And then it ends up being a blah, blah, blah.
So then, okay, kind of, you know, dissipates. And then there's a little more noise.
Yeah.
Right? Then Damian's digging. Damian's everywhere. And then more and more people last night, it seemed like everyone in Sacramento who reports on the Kings was like, hey, there's some smoke here. This is real. But I feel like everybody in the back of their heads, and I know I talked to you about this, was like, yeah, but is he going to get on the plane tomorrow? Is he going to actually come here? Is he going to say yes? You were like, if he doesn't, we got to wait.
That's what I said. And what the Clippers were involved too, right?
The Clippers. It was like, oh, is this a leverage play? You just feel like it's going to be the worst thing ever.
Correct.
If it's involving the Sacramento Kings. You haven't been able to land a big fish before.
Yep.
And so now they land that guy. It's very surreal that it happened this way. You know, you hear this morning he's traveling to Sacramento. That was being reported. It's like, okay. Then we find out he lands in Sacramento this afternoon. And my whole thought was this. We're going to know no matter what tonight. Like, it was going to be either he agrees, comes out, gets a pop like he did, or if he leaves and goes back to SoCal, if he's staying down there, that means it's probably not happening. That's bad.
He's
if he left without a deal.
Home,
yes.
Going home. That's what I was worried
Instead,
about.
Instead, he ends up getting this deal, accepting this deal. Apparently, the framework of this three-team deal had been done.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they needed was DeMar to go, you know what? I'm in. So here we are with DeMar DeRozan joining the Sacramento Kings. And there's so much talk, Morgan Reagan. He's 34. He turns 35. He's old. Tell me why you like this move. If you do, what do you think about this move? What do you think about DeMar DeRozan, Sacramento King?
So, a few things, too. Because I think if you had told me just about this move randomly in the middle of the season or something, I'd be like, but how does that improve the Kings defense? You know, a point of emphasis or what does that mean for the spacing? Then as time goes on and you see trades happening, the Western Conference getting better, you're seeing free agents getting paid in different places, and you're seeing the Kings still in this place where you go, they're connected to names, but what do they have to give up to get some of these names? And that, and even you can go further. What do they have to mortgage in their future to get some of these names? Well, when DeMar DeRozan was being talked about, it never felt like it was going to cost too much. And it never felt risky. And when I say risky, well, for example, you look at someone like Zach LaVine. Huge risk. Paid a lot of money. And on top of all of that, is not on the floor often. DeMar DeRozan, we kind of knew the space of what he was going to make. And I think for so long, you look at the Kings and they always have to overpay free agents. They always have to overpay.
Man.
Oh, anything. Yeah. I mean, you know, just anyone. It always seems like.
Oh, I can go down the list if you want.
No,
Trevor Ariza.
No. We're not going to go down the
Dwayne
list.
Dwayne Dedman.
No, this depressing.
Corey Joseph.
It's a good day. So you have all those things. The main thing that stood out to me, and you know, this is one of my favorite things when I look at players. I look at their last three seasons and I go, how many games did they play? And you had this fantastic stat of DeMar DeRozan and his ability to stay on the floor. He has played 93% of his career games.
Yes. He has played 93% of the games in his career. He led the NBA in minutes played last year. Second behind him was Domantas Sabonis. Yep. He plays every night.
Yep.
He stays on the floor.
Yep.
I think he has aged so well. I think his game is better than
fine wine
ever been.
Yep.
And you landed him on a 3-year, $74 million deal.
Yes.
The third year is a partial guarantee, but like, that is a fantastic deal for the Sacramento Kings.
So you look at that deal, and especially because of track record of the Sacramento Kings, this organization and everything, and you look at a player that is actually going to be available and out there. And why that is so important to me, because I've told you this so many times, I think for the Kings, they are still in this, they still have this roster where if you lose two of your main guys, your team, your identity is completely different. And it doesn't mean that the guys aren't good basketball
players. You saw it last year when they lost Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter.
Yes.
It impacted them in a major way offensively.
Even Kevin Huerter having the season he was having, so many people were like, oh, why are the Kings looking like this? It was because he was still a threat out there. He was still capable of doing so many other things, moving without the basketball, even when he wasn't making his threes. So for DeMar DeRozan to be out there all the time, a player that you can rely on and depend on. And on top of that, I told you this angle as well. JaVale McGee was vocal. He was a veteran. He was a voice. He was a leader, but he was on the bench. And it is so important to have that veteran leadership voice, whatever, out there leading by example. And DeMar DeRozan can do exactly that.
We're going to spend a lot of time talking about DeMar DeRozan, his fit, why this can be a really good move, maybe some concerns with the roster, looking ahead a little bit to what the Kings have left in terms of cap space and or money and what they could do before hitting the tax, all those things. Before we go there, I want to acknowledge Harrison Barnes for a second.
Yes.
So this is a three-team deal. For those who are watching us live, they're just checking in, and you're just like, oh, what happened? I just woke up. I don't know. My schedule's weird. Why would I be waking up at 10:35? Yeah. Anyway, so DeRozan comes to Sacramento. It's a three-team sign-and trade. So DeMar DeRozan to Sacramento on a 3-year, $74 million deal. They get San Antonio involved. San Antonio cleared some space today. They were able to take on Harrison Barnes' contract. In addition, an interesting wrinkle that some people have brought up already, the Kings agreed to an unprotected pick swap, a first-round pick swap in 2031. So in like 7 years.
Correct.
And I've already heard people talk about that. We can focus on that in a second. And then Chris Duarte, 2 second-round picks and cash go to the Chicago Bulls to get this deal done. Going back to Harrison, this guy played just under 400 games with the Sacramento Kings over 6 seasons. Talk about a guy that was available.
Yep.
All 82. This guy played every single night. I don't think he got the love he deserved for many things, but what he meant in the locker room. And I thought if you lost Harrison Barnes and you weren't getting a voice back, that was going to be really bad for this team. They got one back in DeRozan. But to focus on HB, the ultimate class act. And even if you were one of those fans who are like, I'm just sick of him, and oh, he pisses me off, blah, blah, blah. The guy was available every night. He came to Sacramento, knocked down threes, super consistent, great guy, amazing in the community, great in the locker room. That guy is forever welcome in Sacramento.
Absolutely.
Good King, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I think the amount of blame and shit that he would take when things were bad.
Yep.
And again, people would also go to his contract and be like, well, he's making this, and if you want to bring him off the bench, then he's making too much money to come off the bench. Things get screwed up in the NBA everywhere. I mean, sometimes you're going to have guys that you switch roles, and then you're going to have them coming off the bench, and it could seem like they're getting paid too much, whatever it may be. Also, you look at how much guys are getting paid in the NBA, and I always remember feeling like, well, this is an okay deal. And the reason why I know so many people are going to get pissed off because so many people did not. I know I don't give a shit. But my point is because I remember at the time there was so much almost trades or almost free agents that were happening and you needed a wing. So when the Kings or Monty went back and was like, okay, we're going to re-sign Harrison Barnes and this is going to be the deal, it wasn't until the next year when he wasn't playing the way that everyone wanted him to play that it seemed like everyone was so pissed off. But the year before, the guy helped this team get to the playoffs and play 82 NBA games, you know? So like he earned that contract and then didn't play up to it. But my whole point to all of this is like that happens all the time. And I just think he took way too much shit for being such a good guy as well. And I know it's not a league where everyone just judges you on being a great guy. They want you to perform on the basketball floor. That's what you get paid for. I get it. But at the end of the day, he was a great guy who showed up to work. And I thought just throughout the years, really just held his head up high, especially with all the shit that Sacramento had gone through.
I think he's been in trade rumors almost every single year since he's been in Sacramento, even after re-signing the first time, then the second time. Like he got re-signed, it was like immediately in the trade rumors. And that's not an easy thing for a player to go through. And now he's headed to back to Texas. You know, of course, he had that stint with the Dallas Mavericks before Sacramento. And now he's headed to the San Antonio Spurs. I think that's a great pickup for San Antonio, a team that they're going to take their big swing as an organization next year. And this year is still about growing. This year is about guiding some of the young talent. We saw Stephon Castle today playing the summer league. The guy's got a lot of talent.
Yes, he does.
But now they've got some vets who have been around. Chris Paul, been around. Harrison Barnes. Having those type of guys that know how to play the right way, that are selfless leaders, that's going to be beyond valuable for the San Antonio Spurs. And of course they get the pick swap, we can talk about that. But my whole point is Harrison Barnes, like
hats off to you.
Yeah. 6 years in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And so good for him. And I think he's gonna enjoy playing with one of the most special players we've seen in a long time in Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, which is cool for him too. And really quick too on Chris Duarte. Obviously not the longest time here or anything. And I think the risk and the thought process there was, you know, he played so well his rookie year with Domas Sabonis in Indiana. They're friends. They know each other. Maybe that could happen here. It didn't work out the way that obviously everyone wanted it to. But again, another great guy. His smile, just the biggest, and just would light up an entire room. And glad, you know, that he got to at least have a little bit more time with Domas, but also glad that he's going to go somewhere that maybe he'll have a little bit more opportunity as
well.
It's
tough. It's been a tough journey, man. I mean, he had a good rookie year, got hurt, gets traded. You know, this year, like thinking he's going to maybe get more of an opportunity. He was definitely inconsistent. Just, you know, he had missed so much time the year before. It felt like the game was too fast for him. But like Morgan said, legitimately such a good dude. And I know that can't be easy. You know, he's right now like trying to make the Olympics, you know, taking his country to the Olympics. And, you know, he finds out on the road that, you know, he's getting traded. Not easy. Not easy. And he's getting traded for the second consecutive year. Mm. So, you know, that's part of the business. But we wish Chris Duarte the best. Just want to give those guys like the proper respect. Because I think we're, but like seeing these guys and knowing what they're about, like good dudes. So. Yeah.
And whether you say it's part of the job or not and you get paid lots of money, absolutely. But you can still humanize the things and feel for people when they have to go through change.
Now let's talk about DeMar Darnell DeRozan.
Hell yeah.
It's a big time pickup, man.
It's a big time pickup.
We talked a little bit about him in a clip we did yesterday when there was like, oh, rumors like maybe the Kings are the front runner or what would you call him, the team to watch when
yes, it came to the DeRozan. Team to watch.
So we did a clip about him and I'm like, get this guy. We talk about his availability, played 93% of the games in his career, led the NBA in minutes last year. This guy wants to play and he wants to play all the time. I think the Kings last year, what you noticed, everyone talks about like defense, they got to get better defensively. They did improve last year defensively, especially when Keon was playing more of a role, Fox was better Keegan. But like sometimes offensively, it definitely wasn't as smooth as first year of the Beam team.
No, it wasn't.
When they ended the playoffs, it was not. They were not the number one offense last year. And at times you're like, okay, it's a little clunky. Having another guy that can go out and get you a bucket, a guy who can get to the free throw line, he's going to pump fake you to death and you're going to bite on that eventually. And he could get there almost 8 times a game and knock down his free throws. Probably the best mid-range guy in the league, just a mid-range king. I love what he can do for Sacramento. Why do you think his offense will be so important to this team?
You look at the Kings offense and one of the point of emphasis all the time. Paint touches. Mm-hmm. I mean, as it should be with just like fundamental offenses. But they always put it down. They write it down. They want to get that paint touch. He not only has the skill set to get into the paint, he has the ability to score in the paint, to be efficient in the paint, to draw attention to the paint. What does that do? Could that leave Keegan Murray open for a spray three? You know, there's options there. Could that mean that there's just more attention on this guy, which allows other guys to move without the basketball? De'Aaron Fox used the speed, cut, move. Somebody finds him, DeMar DeRozan, whatever happens. I just feel like the flow of the offense is going to look better. Now, I think the concern could be, too, for some, would be like, well, what about the spacing? What does that mean for the spacing? Because it's not like he is this huge three-point shooter. Well, last year, though,
he did take the second most threes of his career last year. I think that was more of a product of Billy Donovan going, Zach LaVine's out. All right, Patrick Williams, DeMar, going to need you to take some threes.
And he knocked them down when the Bulls took on the Sacramento Kings.
He definitely did. Not a great three-point shooter at all, but he doesn't take a ton. People talk about the spacing with that. Look, yes, here's a reality, though. If DeMar DeRozan gets the ball above the three-point line, you still have to guard the guy. You're going to let him get downhill, hit the brakes, pump fake you, get great footwork, get around you and get to the basket. You're going to let him get to his mid-range spot. You're going to let him put a move on you. This guy still has to be guarded. I think sometimes we talk about spacing and act like, well, if he's not a 37% three-point shooter, then they're just going to sag off of him. No, this guy scores at a high level without taking threes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an old-school game. He is connected with it. His dad used to make him watch 80s basketball. He idolized Kobe Bryant. The guy has looked at the mid-range and is like, I'm going to be a mid-range specialist because I can get there. And go ahead and try to stop him. The guy has averaged 20 or more points per game in 11 straight seasons.
Like, think about that. And think about even where he is in his career and still doing that. And doing that at such an efficient level as well. And so, I just think...
And I think his game's going to age well. I really do. I mean, he's going to be 35, but he... is in elite shape.
Yep.
The guy takes care of his body. He takes care of upstairs to the mental part as well.
And here's the thing. If as some guys get older, they also have to rely on still being explosive, getting to the rim, whatever. I think because, like we've talked about, he's done such a fantastic job of becoming such an elite mid-range shooter,
yeah.
right? And that's elevating over people. That's being able to get to a spot, and it doesn't matter if a hand's in his face because the muscle memory will be there. So even if there is still a body on
he
him,
he can create.
He knows how to create just enough space too to get there. So again, his offensive game alone, I think when we look at that and just what this means for the Kings offense to have another guy that they could rely on. And let's just say he's having a bad night. Okay, no worries. You have other guys that can still get something going. And that is something that the Kings were absolutely missing.
He also, like people, oh, he dribbles the hell out of the ball. I think he is more than capable of playing in an up-tempo offense where the ball gets moving around. He showed that ability in San Antonio. And people are like, oh, he doesn't really pass. And it's like, oh, no, wait. Look at his assist numbers in San Antonio. He averaged over 5 assists a game last year. He handled the ball a lot. Sure. I think he is going to fit perfectly. He's a smart player. He understands the game. Sure, he can get to his spots, but he also understands the importance of just getting that paint touch and getting the ball popping around. When the ball has energy, everybody loves that. He has played in a system like that before.
Well, and you talk about these different systems of basketball that he's played in and him being able to adapt, not only because he is a smart player, but he's so fundamentally sound. And that goes to even him in his pump fake. And I know you mentioned that because he was on Paul George's podcast talking about his shot fake that he has and how he likes to use it and how teams still fall for it to this day. Because it's not about, like, they know he's going to do it, but he's done such a great job executing even something as simple as that. And Paul George then started talking about, yeah, I don't pump fake because it just doesn't come naturally to me. He's like, it's so weird. And it's such an old school thing that I just love that he has down that is still so effective in today's game.
Very creative with that. And he was, Paul George was sharing a story too about how when they played DeMar DeRozan's team in the playoffs, Paul George's coaches said, we will fine any player who goes for the pump fake. And there are a lot of fines being handed out because of that. DeMar DeRozan is a professional scorer. And I think last year, especially when Malik Monk went out, I'm looking around going, who is creating for the Kings besides De'Aaron Fox? It was all De'Aaron.
Yeah.
He needed some help, right? Keegan's not there yet as a creator. So that's not Sabonis's game. Keon Ellis, come on. This guy was in his second year in the NBA. You're looking up and down going, you need some help. And now the fact that they add Malik Monk, who returns, he had his press conference today. It was really fun to hear what he had to say about returning to Sacramento. So you have him. You've got Fox. You've got DeMar. These guys, in clutch time, know how to perform. De'Aaron Fox has won the Clutch Player of the Year award. Well, that year, DeMar DeRozan was in third place in that running. This past year when Steph won it, who was in second place? DeMar DeRozan. The guy is not afraid of the moment. And to have that many threats on a team, that guys that aren't afraid of that, that can take the big shot, that can draw the big foul, and then go to the free throw line and knock down free throws, this is a big addition. I also think it's going to make the Kings offense more dynamic. They've run so much dribble handoff stuff on the perimeter. Well, now you can run some dribble handoff game with DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Get him going downhill and attacking. It's going to be significant for the Sacramento Kings.
Even on a team that he was on last year, I mean, he was averaging over 5 assists per game. Yeah. And you think about that. I mean, obviously, these guys have to make these shots that he's getting them. But I think just him as a manager, as a leader out there as well in different situations, not just to get a bucket, but to make sure to create something that obviously makes sense for the entire team. What?
We do have some breaking Kings news. I've been waiting for a few minutes. I want to get through the DeMar DeRozan stuff. According to our good friend Sean Cunningham, the Sacramento Kings may not be done working for the night. He says he's hearing strong indications they've reached a deal with Jordan McLaughlin, who was with Minnesota last year for the team's 13th roster spot. The 28-year-old point guard, of course, played with Minnesota last year. Playing the backup, spot starter sometime, third guy. You need another point guard who is capable. This guy is capable. How many games did he play with Minnesota last year?
He played 56 games last year. He's 27 years old.
We've definitely called some of his G League games back in the day, too.
I wanted to find his wingspan because I feel like he was
yeah.
pretty long. Yeah, interesting. Good job, Sean. Way to bring that up.
So it's good. You want to have another guy that, in a pinch, you can go out there and handle a little bit, and he can definitely do that. So the Kings, I believe, God, after these trades, they've got some roster spots open. And yes, Woj just reported Sean Cunningham was first, but free agent guard Jordan McLaughlin has agreed to a one-year deal with the Sacramento Kings. So there is that for the Sacramento Kings.
Okay,
my
now.
Goodness. Also, if you guys want to just have a little fun, and we're going to talk more DeMar DeRozan. So DeMar DeRozan's favorite number is 10. He wore 10 in Toronto, could not wear 10 in Chicago because it was retired.
Uh-huh.
Sabonis changes his number to 10, from 10 to 11 this year. His dad wore 11. Mm-hmm. 11 was retired. Bob Davies' family said, you can take it. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So Sabonis goes to 11. That means 10 is open. Our good pal Mike Bibby was like, they should retire it. Well, they're not going to be retiring it. DeMar DeRozan will get number 10 back.
That's awesome. I know you kind of thought maybe it was a conspiracy too, because the way that it did play out is pretty interesting.
It was some 4D chess by Sabonis and the Kings. You're like, dude, first things first, dude, one little thing we could do is just like change your number. Don't you like your dad's 11? You used to wear 11 in Indiana. Like, let's get you 11 back. We'll get permission. Then DeMar can get 10. DeMar likes 10. Let's get him 10.
Get him 10.
Yeah.
I love to see it. No, it's again, also great, too, just to see that the Kings are still putting in the work, even if these are the little tweaks that are coming here and there, because I think that is very important for this roster to keep seeing changes. And not just to see changes to make anyone happy, but you're just seeing the Western Conference getting better and better. You have to make sure that you have the depth, the right backup pieces, everything that you need going forward.
Yeah, and there's still time to add some more pieces. They can add some guys to vet minimums if they want to avoid the tax. There's definitely some flexibility for Sacramento to make more moves. Hell, they can make another trade if they wanted to as well. I just think this DeMar DeRozan deal is so significant for many reasons. One, the thing that we haven't hit on yet. What? We talked about what he can just bring offensively. Go get a bucket, blah, blah, blah. The Kings got a big free agent. DeMar DeRozan had suitors. The other suitors had to get creative too to try to make it happen. You know, at one point the Lakers wanted him. At one point the Clippers, Miami had been tied to him. The problem is those guys were in some tough cap situations, so they had to be really flexible. Or DeMar would have to take a pay cut. DeMar, this is a reasonable deal. 3 years and 74 for a guy with his resume who is not like, oh, he's coming off an injury, or, oh, man, you know, he hasn't been the same. This is not the Kings signing Vince Carter and giving him $8 million a year. This is not the Kings signing Zach Randolph at the end of his career. Shout out Z-Bo. Love the guy, but, like, he was at the tail end. DeMar DeRozan, it's like a fine wine. The guy has aged well.
Yeah.
And I
still
just...
still impactful.
But what I'm... my point is... the Kings were able to do this.
Yeah.
The Kings. This is a shift. Well, this is a shift. This is a shift that they have finally started to turn a little bit where they're not the laughingstock of the NBA.
Track record, I think when you look at track record, and that's why everyone is so triggered and traumatized. And I just think that's sports fan bases, I guess, that just are so irrational at times and get so dramatic with certain things. And it's like, nothing's going to happen, like a tantrum of a five-year-old or something. Because I feel like I saw a lot of that online. And I love it because I just think it's funny. Like, I think it's hilarious because it just doesn't make any sense to me, right? And I also understand, though, being in Sacramento, why it can be triggering, because this fan base has been traumatized.
They've
for so
seen
long.
A lot of shit.
And I think even in the last couple of years with this front office, even seeing the almost trades and the players almost come here, but then it never really truly gets done. It never really felt like it was turning the corner. Well, just from Malik Monk signing here in free agency, like
before it started.
Or before it started. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's an underrated element of this whole story, because it allowed them to work on this DeMar DeRozan thing. If they had a deal with Malik at the start of free agency.
Oh my God. That would have been awful.
So Malik did them a favor.
He did them. He's the reason why DeMar DeRozan's here. I mean,
it helped though. But it literally helped.
So when Malik made that decision though, I remember even in that moment, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like he really, he loves Sacramento. Like I love Sacramento. Dude, it made me so happy and special. And then you're seeing DeMar DeRozan, who, by the way, I know the talks with the Clippers. I don't know. We obviously don't know the details of that, but I think being in California was also important. But then obviously everyone that he did have conversations with, he felt comfortable with. And you mentioned the contract. It's not like they paid him a shit ton of money that just didn't make sense for a 35-year-old to be here in Sacramento. Like it all feels oh so good. And you're exactly right. The Kings organization did this, and I'm really hoping that it actually shifts a lot of things on the floor for next year, even in the Western Conference, because I don't want to hear it again from people being like, oh, everyone got excited about that, but it really wasn't the thing that they needed to do. And I mean, obviously that can always be the case, but I think right now it's important to celebrate exactly what you're saying, is that someone wanted to be here.
Yeah, apparently he met with Mike Brown, but Chris Haynes reported that the guy that was really big, De'Aaron Fox, those two got together, chatted about things, and that's what got DeMar DeRozan to go, all right, let's do this shit.
And that is also something you want to hear, that your star player could help in negotiations or help sway someone to actually be here and want to be here in Sacramento. Because I don't know, I never really saw De'Aaron as that, but I just think as he's grown and matured over the years and has become such a different player on and off the floor, it does make a lot more sense.
It's crazy to think that De'Aaron's the longest tenured King. I think Trey Lyles is the second longest. And maybe if you want to go with like Alex Len, who split time here before, but yeah, there's been a lot of because Harrison Barnes after 6 years. There's been so much turnover.
Wow.
Yeah. But I just think it's such a significant day because Sacramento was able to do this. They were able to get this deal done. Like I'm stunned. And I've been following this team a long time. I'm more than aware of their free agent history. You know, before this, you go back, a lot of people don't mention this one. Brad Miller was a significant sign and trade acquisition they made. And that was actually, believe it or not, involving San Antonio in this one. And Indiana, they sent Scott Pollard out. They sent Hedo over to San Antonio. It was not a good fit there. Kings got Brad Miller, who was an all-star in the East, came with that, actually an all-star here too. And that was a significant move. But before that, it was like, Vlade, that was a huge free agent pickup at the time.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's pretty bleak. Now, they re-signed some of their guys after they traded. They re-signed Weber. They re-signed Bibby after trading. Get stuff like that. But like for them to attract someone, right? That's not like, oh, he's like 41. This is his farewell tour. Oh, okay. He's a vet. Like, he'll be a good voice. Like, this guy can still play. And you look at his last, Morgan talked about his last 3 years of availability, his availability over his whole career. Last year, the guy averaged 24 a game. The year before that, 24 and a half. The year before that, just under 28 a game. This guy is a bucket. He doesn't shoot threes. He's a bucket. He gets to the line. He's a mid-range assassin. Guy's a bucket. And you need another guy that can go create. Think about the pressure this will take off De'Aaron Fox at times, too. This allows Fox that he's not going to have to be the guy all the time. Think about the versatility that the Kings can have now. There's questions about the lineup going forward about, oh, where's DeRozan slot in? Is he at small forward? Is he at shooting guard? Look, it remains to be seen. I think we'll have a better idea in the next few weeks if they make some other moves or tweaks.
Yeah.
You know, as it stands right now, it's like, maybe you have him at the three. You put Keon at the two. Fox at the one, obviously. Keegan at the four. Are you worried about Keegan at the four defending some of the bigger guys? Can he stay out of foul trouble? Offensively, you could do it at the four. And then you got Sabonis at the five. But could the Kings make another move and upgrade the four? Then all of a sudden, you're putting DeRozan at the two. Then you've got like Monk and Ellis and Devin Carter and Lyles coming off your bench. It's intriguing. And I still think the Kings need to make some additional moves. Adding McLaughlin's nice as like an emergency point guard and all that. They still need some more size. You did lose some size with Harrison and even Sasha to a certain extent, right? So having some length, the Kings don't need length on this team unless they're like, dude, Jalen McDaniels is going to be a I can't bank on that.
No,
I can't bank on that.
No, no, no. And especially when he had one of his worst years
ever
in his NBA career last year. So yeah, you can't bank on that. You obviously get excited for length. I think it was the same thing when the move for Kessler Edwards was made. It was like, ooh, what do we have here? What will he be capable of doing with his long arms? Because he's a taller guy. Like, oh, whatever. Can he, you know, shoot consistently from three? And obviously that didn't go in the direction that you wanted to go when it came to his development here in Sacramento. But at the same time, yeah, you just got to keep trying out those things. And you don't want to keep having misses. And you don't want to have to keep relying on internal development. But what you're seeing here, too, is that the Kings are kind of turning the corner where maybe there are going to be more people believing in the system. Mike Brown, the teammates around them. I don't know. And just being on a team, too, that actually has some flexibility with things as well. You and I have also talked about this. The Kings, when you looked at some of the names that were out there, it never felt like they had the impactful assets to really make a move in like a trade, for example. Because we would always go, well, like, who would want this and this? Who would want this and this for that? Like, it's the same thing with like Lauri Markkanen. I think a lot of people are like, wait, so are the Kings out on Markkanen? It's like, yeah, because pretty sure that someone like Keegan Murray was going to have to be in that deal. And the Kings are not parting ways with Keegan Murray.
And it sounds like Lowry's big on testing free agency next year, which so that's like...
And yeah, so then you're taking that risk. Yeah. And
dealing with Ainge, good luck.
All of those things combined. So yeah, I think I look at this situation and I look at where the Kings are at and just keep on improving your roster, not having too many misses, even on some of the guys that... play smaller roles as well, because you got to make sure you do have the right assets to eventually keep making tweaks and moves.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and they saw some picks that they can move, too, if they're trying to do something a little larger or whatever, or try to close a deal. I do want to talk about the 2031 unprotected first-round pick swap that they sent to San Antonio today. And I've seen a couple of people mention, like, dude, I don't know what that's going to look like. Look, I'm sorry. I just, 2031, I'm not saying, like, let's not, I'm not saying we need to be blind. It was like, dude, ignore it. Doesn't matter. Because, yes, there is a world where the Spurs are the reigning defending NBA champions in 2031 because they've got the greatest player who's a five-time MVP in Victor Wembanyama, and the Kings are like, dude, they're really bad, and they got the number one pick, and they swap. Yeah, that would be really bad. That'd be really bad. It's also 2031, and I'm sorry. This is NBA history. What? Could Victor not be on the Spurs? There's 8,000 different questions I could bring up that it's like, I'm sorry, I cannot get worked up about an unprotected pick swap. Now, if you said unprotected pick, it's for sure going there. Okay, yeah, we can have that conversation. It's 2031. This world may not be around in 2031.
Like, you say that, but it's like...
It's possible. So I just can't bring myself to care that much about it. Now, if we get there and it looks bad, yeah, that's going to suck, and we'll have to just deal with those repercussions. Yeah.
But don't you have to take these risks, too?
You do. Yeah, like, that's the thing.
That's the other thing that, like, when people are excited, but then they get mad. And I get it. I get there are certain situations where too much could be given up. But you're also seeing... the climate of the NBA and how some of these deals are working and how so many people, so many teams feel like they're having to give up so many even second rounders just to get rid of some guys. Yeah. Or look at a deal like Mikal Bridges and all of the future draft picks that they got. You know what I mean? There's so many different situations, and I feel like especially where the NBA is going with some of these contracts and also with some of the different tiers of aprons and all that crap going on. I mean, just way too many rules that I can't even keep up with. It's like, yeah, take some risks, mortgage a little bit of the future if it means playing some good basketball now.
Another question that's been brought up, DeMar DeRozan defensively. I think there's just going to be some challenges for him on ball with certain matchups, no doubt about it. But he's actually a really good team defender. He's a smart guy because the guy knows the game. I think he averaged like a not saying that steals make you a good defender.
No, De'Aaron led the league last year and wasn't on an all defensive team.
Sure. There's more to that. But he averages over a steal a game the last couple of years for his career. He averages a steal a game. But I think he does enough things from a team defensive standpoint. And now, you know, Fox should be freed up to continue to be aggressive defensively. He doesn't have to carry the entire offensive burden by pushing. Yeah. Like, he's going to still push the pace. He's still going to have to do things, but he's going to be able to contribute defensively. Keegan grew a lot. Keon Ellis, you weren't even playing him at the start of last year. And then they're really high on Devin Carter. You know, they believe he can guard 1 through 3. And if he can come in year one and do that, you have some versatility from the defensive standpoint.
And even when Malik was asked about Devin Carter today, you know, he talked about him not only being a dog, but just being, because he was in college longer, believes his maturity, he will be NBA ready when he does have to come out there, you know, that it will translate well. So, I think too, I mean, if you want to go to this situation, if you go and you look at someone like Harrison Barnes and what he wasn't capable of doing defensively as well, it's like, so you don't necessarily get that much better defensively, but you also get a skill set on the offensive end that you didn't have, right? So you still are like breaking news.
There's no perfect player out there. Yeah.
There is no perfect, unless Victor Wembanyama becomes the most perfect player, which that could happen. But there really isn't. For the most part.
I'm still just stunned that they got DeMar DeRozan. For those who checked out our clip yesterday, you probably heard some of this, but I'm going to pull a couple of these up because these are quotes that jumped out to me yesterday when I was doing I was doing some DeMar DeRozan digging. And Morgan's like, Deuce, you're going to feel bad tomorrow. It's going to hurt you when it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. You're in. It's going to hurt. You were concerned.
I'm always concerned for you because, I mean, for the most part, look, it's finally happening. But how many times have you been let down? And if nothing had happened after you've been so high on Brandon Ingram and DeMar DeRozan and name whoever the hell else, you know, and on your birthday, that would have been so depressing.
Yeah, what a great birthday gift it was.
You had a great birthday. Tell us some.
Well, one thing before I get to the quote, I was talking to someone with the Spurs today, actually, before the game.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just raving about DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, because it looked like it was headed that way. And he's like, this is going to be perfect for you guys. Oh. And he was talking about on the court.
Wow.
Yeah, he just liked the fit, just what it could make the Kings more dynamic. But as a leader, he is this guy, everybody loves him.
Let's go.
Couple of notes. His first ever NBA head coach was Jay Triano. In Toronto. So Jay is, of course, on the Kings coaching staff. Jay said years ago, I found this, that he knew DeRozan was going to be great because he was showing up at the gym at 6 a.m. as like a young player. He just like had that like thirst to just be great. He also played with Trey Lyles. They played together in San Antonio, so those two know each other too.
Love it.
A couple of quotes. Greg Popovich, his former coach of San Antonio, said he was a great teammate. You could always depend on him. He was a go-to guy that you knew had the ability to score against most people, but he was always in a good mood, and he always had a smile on his face. He was fun to be around. Kobe White, his teammate in Chicago, says he never complains. He just loves the game. He loves to hoop. His old coach, Billy Donovan with the Bulls. That guy is one of the most special people I've ever been around, all the way around. Player, person, teammate. The ability to communicate with him every day, who he is. I've never seen him have a bad day. I've never seen him in a bad mood. I've never seen him have an attitude. Certainly puts a lot into it. He does get frustrated like they all do, but he was a major part of keeping this group together. Vucevic, his big man in Chicago, said the way he cares about teammates, the belief he has in all of us, you all see when he takes over the fourth, when he makes big shots, when he makes big plays. That's something everybody sees. But for us, what's most important is just the way he is around us off the court. Even on the court, if somebody's struggling or whatever, he always has belief in guys and always supports them. That's very important, especially coming from your best player and your leader. It goes a long way, especially for younger guys. That's something that we appreciate the most about him, the way he carries himself off the court. He's a very simple guy, easygoing. He doesn't ask for anything special because he's the best player, because he has 15 years in the NBA. He's like everybody else. I think guys respect that most about him. Teammates all over the league, coaches. You cannot find someone who has played with DeMar DeRozan, who has coached him, been around him, that says a negative word about DeMar DeRozan.
That's cool.
This guy is an ultimate pro. He loves the game. His quote, Morgan,
oh,
I love it. I want to play. I tell Billy all the time, don't take me out. Oh. I want to play. I want to be out there with the guys. I want to feel the challenge, especially when you realize I'm not going to play for another 15 years, another 10 years. So while I'm here, I'm going to give it everything I've got. I don't want to shortchange anybody, myself, my teammates, people who come to see me. I just want to be out there and play as much as I can. And I'm going to take care of myself as best as I can so I can do that.
He takes so much pride in what he does. And I appreciate that. Two, you can tell some of...
Yep.
The greatest basketball minds of all time, Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
Also see that. And that goes a long way for me. And it makes me excited. Yeah, it makes me excited that something like that type of mentality alone. I think the Kings, the last couple of years, have done a really good job of getting high character people, and that they put a lot of value in that. And they put a lot of value into people with a strong work ethic. I mean, even someone like Davion Mitchell, you know, I think that was something that was so attractive about him and his game. Obviously, it didn't end up working out the way that they wanted to. He's an undersized guard too, you know, but I think he still has a lot to show in the NBA. But what they value with mentality and work ethic, I just love, and they're consistent with.
Love, you know what I love about being live? The what? Engagement we're getting, the chats popping. You guys are here late on a Saturday night. We appreciate you. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. But what I love is the fact that I feel like we got some like producers out here sometimes that give us some nuggets, and I just double check this.
What?
Bear in the chest says, I just read that DeRozan and Devin Carter's dad, Anthony Carter, played for the Raptors in 2011-2012. Yes, Anthony Carter's final year in the NBA was with the Toronto Raptors. His teammate, DeMar DeRozan. Fast forward, decade plus later,
wow,
he's playing with Anthony Carter's son, Devin.
And they were saying what's up on the sideline as well, because Devin Carter obviously isn't playing in the California Classic. That's really, really cool.
Insane.
You also do, you mentioned everyone being live here and everything, and it's giving me anxiety not to mention this. The super chat that we got from Paul.
Oh, let's see. Paul sent a couple. Yeah. Oh my God. Paul, he says, happy birthday, Deuce. Gave $100. He did it twice. Did you make a mistake on the second one?
If you did, let us know.
Well, let's, but whatever.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thank you so much, Paul. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
What a gift.
Yeah. It's DeMar DeRozan Day, Deuce birthday. So that's why it was like that.
Dude, this is a little surreal tonight. And it's because it hasn't been something that's happened in like Kings history for something like this. So it's impactful. Now you start thinking about, okay, but where do they stack up in the West? Who knows? The West is stacked. We know this. The Kings won 46 games last year. And they were a play-in team, missed the playoffs after losing the Pelicans for the 800th straight time. The year before that, they won 48 and were the 3 seed. We know the West is stacked. We know all these teams are going to be better, but who's dropping off? There's going to be some teams that drop off and maybe aren't as good. Where does Brandon Ingram land up?
Yeah.
Does Lauri Markkanen end up in the West still, or does he maybe go to Miami?
Go to Miami.
Zach Lowe mentioned the Heat interested in him. How long is that going to play out? Who the hell knows? It doesn't matter because the West is stacked. But the Kings got better today. There's no doubt. We know the Kings still have weaknesses. They've got some issues up front still that you go, okay, like you need some more size. Can you get some more length? Is Kuzma still on the table? Does he even still fit when you've got DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah.
You know, that's a question. Does Cam Johnson make some sense? I see the chat mentioning, could you trade for that dog from Milwaukee? Bobby Portis, is he really available? I don't know. But they do need something else to go to the even next level.
Absolutely. And I think also them just understanding to not run it back because it wasn't good enough. And so even making the tweaks like we just with McLaughlin and McDaniels.
Yeah. And DeRozan?
And DeRozan. Okay. I was trying to make sure I wasn't missing anything else. Yeah, yeah. But that's, you know, just even those small things there. Being like, okay, we had pieces and people in these certain roles that weren't even seeing playing time, that weren't doing anything with that we needed them to do. So why not even switch up those smaller roles, right? And so I think just seeing some of those tweaks too are encouraging. But it doesn't mean that that is necessarily going to lead you somewhere better than a lot of these teams in the Western Conference. Moves like DeMar DeRozan will absolutely be those things that just keep on pushing you in that direction. So you got to make sure that you keep just trying to figure out a few more tweaks here and there.
They're going
to
be tough to guard.
Absolutely.
They're going to be tough to guard when you have Fox, DeRozan, if you have Monk out there with them sometimes.
Yep.
Sabonis.
They will be tough to
insane.
Guard.
Insane.
Absolutely. And hopefully this offense will just be like free flowing, moving well. There's just so many times last year that it felt like ended up being stagnant or you're living and dying by the three. Yeah. And it just like it Mike Brown in his basketball mind, like that's just not beautiful basketball. The ball has to be moving. It has to be flowing. The energy flows through the basketball when it's moving around, when bodies are moving around. You have people that have the vision of Domas Sabonis, but then obviously floor managers like and leaders like DeMar DeRozan and then even De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk being the playmaker that he was last year. So, yeah, you have a lot of that. And so there's going to be a lot of fun on the offensive end. And I think on the defensive end, just because of the way that it was going, that it can continue in that direction.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about, you know, Kevin Herter's still on the roster, too.
Yeah.
You know, and Kevin Herter, I know fans could not be lower on Kevin Herter right now.
I know.
He had the worst year of his career, no doubt about it, ended with that shoulder injury, too. But he's still on the roster at this moment, too. So they still have some, like, other tweaks to make. It's incomplete. But when you look at the other teams in the West, like, look, OKC's legit as shit.
Oh, my God.
Right? Minnesota, legit as shit. Dallas had Clay, Najee Marshall.
And after what they kept accomplishing, right. Yeah.
I think Denver, like, kind of took a step back. You know, losing KCP is a big loss to
me. They still have one of the best players in the world.
They do, and they're still going to be relevant, no doubt about it. But, you know, the Clippers, what do they look like in this post-Paul George era? What's Kawhi's health? Like, there's questions there. What do the Golden State Warriors do today if they land Lauri Markkanen? You know, they land D'Anthony Melton, Buddy Hield, and Kyle Anderson. So they're different.
They're different. Yeah.
I don't know how much better they are. They're different.
You have Steph Curry on your team.
You're going to be relevant, right? Memphis could be better next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God damn. Up and down. The Pelicans, what do? They got DeJounte Murray. Ingram could still be on the team. What's that look like? Still got Zion? Like,
the Western Conference.
It is, but I feel better tonight than I did last week. And that's why it's so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. I'm trying to think there's some other things I want to hit on with this. Oh, the leadership aspect. It was something I mentioned when we were talking about Harrison Barnes, but Harrison Barnes did bring leadership qualities to this team. And when you lose him, you don't want to lose that aspect either, right? That needs to be replaced. DeMar DeRozan brings that. And I also just think guys around the league respect him.
I mean, you read all the quotes. Yeah, obviously, teammates do. People around the league do. Yeah.
What could that mean for, like, Keegan Murray to learn from DeMar DeRozan? De'Aaron Fox, right? DeRozan's been through ups and downs on the court and off the court. He has seen some shit in his life. He's suffered tragedies. He's dealt with family members going to prison, people around him dying.
And then on top of that, has been vocal about mental health.
Yeah.
You know, and has been at the forefront with other NBA players actually talking about it. And he's just someone that you want around. He's someone that can lead in so many different ways.
So I think when you lose Harrison's voice and then you're able to get DeRozan's voice, that's impactful.
Absolutely. And especially on a team that still is looking for a different type of voice, because you know Malik Monk is still going to be vocal. And these guys, they trust one another and can get on one another about things. But you still need that different style of leadership and veteran presence. And he's perfect for that. I know. It's exciting, and I'm super excited about all the different angles about this. I'm really excited to see it play out on the floor, but I'm very much like wait and see too, how it all kind of like comes together.
Morgan being wait and see.
That's all I do. Always.
Of course you are wait and see.
But I mean, that's just because I
could be a top four team of the West. If everything went right, Jesus, they make one more.
I go wait and see, and then just go, they could be a top four.
They could be a top four. Like that. I'm not guaranteeing it. I didn't say, oh, they're in, but.
I know, but you do this with everything, every single year. And you know what? You know what? That's okay.
Can I sell you on it right now? Just as is. This is just as is.
In the Western Conference right now, like you're going to sell
just with
me.
The Kings.
Yeah, but going up against these teams in the Western Conference.
We said this before the end of the season. I know this is so hard to see when your team misses the playoffs and it's like, okay, you're just trying to spin it, this you little spinster.
No, he's not spinning.
This
he
is what I believe,
this.
Okay? You can call me naive, you can call me a homer. I don't really give a shit. Because guess what? I want this team to do well. Yeah. Guilty. Charge me. Take me away.
Wait, which by
that's
the way,
my crime.
You need to mention so do I.
I know. It's my birthday. It's not about you, okay? It's not about you tonight. But my point being is Of course, I want things to go well with this team.
Mm-hmm.
But even though they missed last year, they weren't that fucking far away.
No.
They won 46 games. They didn't miss the playoffs and win like 27 or 39. Like, no, they were a good team last year. They weren't good enough. They screwed up too much last year.
Way too much.
They dicked around with teams they shouldn't have lost to. They missed free throws. They played weird lineups. They maybe waited too long to play Keon Ellis. They were flawed. Monk and Herter go down. And once Monk went down, it went bye bye. When Luka's big ass landed on his leg.
Big.
Imagine Luka landing on you.
I mean, you'd be dead. Like 50% of the world would be dead.
We're piling on. But piling. That was obviously a significant loss. They're not that far away. And so you see it now. Malik Monk's healthy. I could play basketball today.
Yeah.
You add DeRozan to the mix, a guy that's not scared, a guy that can go score with the best of them in this league. De'Aaron, what he has turned into, Sabonis, boom, let's go. I would say this, the one area I do have a little concern over.
You should, but what is it?
What do you think it is?
I was going to say defense.
No, the defense, I'm not. I'm not that
because you feel like
because I think they're going to be so much better offensively. I think they have so much talent. I think the defense will be fine. It's fine. Let's see what else they do too.
Because a lot of shots were being missed too. So even for them a lot last year, it was their transition defense, obviously not great. So putting them in a in a weird position. But what are you concerned about?
I'm a big Keegan guy. I'm a big Keegan Murray guy. We got to make sure he's getting touches. We got to still make sure he's putting pressure on the defense. I know one aspect of his game, from what I understand, he's working on a lot.
Okay.
And he did this in college, but he wants to post up more. He wants to show what he can do in the post. He wants to work on the mid-range stuff, too. I don't want him to have to take a backseat because I believe he could be a big-time scorer in this league. Like, I think he'd be a guy that averages 20 a game.
He doesn't need to take a backseat. It's on him. It's not on anyone else. It's on him. He can't. This is year three. He can't be like, oh, if someone wants to get me a shot, get your own fucking bucket. Get your bucket. Get it.
Yeah.
Like, have that mentality. And he can so, like, even if he doesn't have that, like, fiery mentality or whatever type of energy, that's okay. He is a hooper and he can get a bucket. He needs to do it on a consistent level where he doesn't feel like he's being a ball hog. He's doing this, blah, 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 whatever. And you've already mentioned it. The angle of DeMar DeRozan being a leader. Like, maybe that's the type of voice and person that he needs around him in the locker room to be
preach,
like,
Mo.
Get your effing bucket.
Go get a bucket.
Playoffs.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Keegan, need you to go to the line this year. Need you, especially if you're playing that four sometimes. Get a little physical down there. He did rebound much better, especially playing at that three spot.
Yeah.
I think he'll get some more rebounds next year, too. They got to help Sabonis out. It can't be Sabonis fighting off seven guys, like, on him, hitting him in the face, trying to get rebounds. Like, we need some other guys to rebound, too. Yeah. All right, guys, like, let's go ahead and crash that glass.
And Harrison Barnes, obviously, wasn't the one that was there to be in those spaces to grab those rebounds. Didn't have a nose for the ball there. But yeah, I think everyone being on that same page with having to be aggressive and getting theirs and being confident, it's going to be huge.
We got someone else donating today.
You had two people, but go on.
Okay. We got Jim who donated too. I want to get to all the super chats. Shout out to Jim. Said, been waiting for this podcast. Donated 20. Appreciate that.
Give me a hell yeah.
God, this person's donated before, and I'm like, it's Jay, right? It's Jay, J-A-I.
Jay!
What's up, Jay? Donate, saying, happy birthday, Deuce. Appreciate that. Wish you the best day and the best year. Today has already been really special. Monk DeRozan made this day 11 out of 10. What are your thoughts for starters? What do you think about Fox, Monk, DeRozan, Murray, and Sabonis? You know, I kind of like having Monk off the bench, man. I think that's my thing. And I know he said today, I want to start, but he also said the same thing he always does, which is, but I'll play whatever role I'm cool with. He knows what he's getting into. He knew what he's getting into.
Yeah.
Here's what Malik wants. He wants to hoop. He wants to play. And he wants to win. And he loves the city. This guy, a lot of people, like, he grew up in Arkansas, dude, small town guy. He vibes with Sacramento. He vibes with this city a lot. And I asked him today, I'm like, do you feel like you got, like, you were sitting on the sidelines at the end of the year? Do you feel like you had unfinished business? And he said, yeah, that was another thing that played into it. He feels like they got something to prove as a team. And I'm sure he knew in the back of his head, we're getting DeMar DeRozan, but I can't tell you. I like him coming off the bench, especially when you're starting DeRozan. I just think he adds so much energy. You still have to play in big minutes.
Make sure his minutes are up.
And this is going to be the challenge. It's always trying to find minutes for guys because I want to play Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis showed some nice things tonight against the Chinese national team in Summer League.
Yes, he did.
But what he meant to this team defensively last year, oh my goodness. His length, I think he could defend threes too. So, like, use a little versatility there. What Devin Carter can bring defensively. So there's definitely going to be some interesting things to watch when it comes to minutes. DeRozan's played big minutes in his career. We mentioned this. He played the most minutes of any player in the NBA last year. So what's that look like coming to Sacramento this year?
Yeah, because he wants to be out there on the floor. And you have people. I mean, obviously you have people that want to be out there on the floor, but there's different people. There's some people that want to be out there on the floor knowing that they are making an impact every single play or attempting to on both ends of the floor and not just wanting to be out there because they love basketball.
Anything that we've missed about today? I'm just looking at my notes.
What?
Just about DeRozan, or is there anything you're missing? Like, what do you? I guess what are you most looking forward to in this journey? You know, I'm big on the journey.
I mean, I guess I'm just looking forward to seeing it come together on the floor, because I think when you do add a piece as talented as DeMar DeRozan, it's like change comes.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes change, like, you have to adjust to, and that takes time. I think because you're adding such a good basketball player, it's not like you're adjusting to a rookie that you have to play right away. You are adjusting to someone who gets it, who has played in different systems, who has been around for a while. So I don't think the adjustment is going to be difficult or anything by any means. But, like, there could be some clunkiness here and there, or like we already just mentioned with minutes. If Keegan isn't being aggressive, like, is Mike Brown going to give him a short leash? And he's like, you shoot the ball or you're not going to play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
Just those little things. And I just hope him going into year three, these other guys going into their next year, Mike Brown going into another year, that type of consistency, the continuity there, like, that really makes a difference next year in Sacramento, I hope.
And I know there's been talk about the spacing. We addressed that earlier. But another thing that could help spacing, if Sabonis all of a sudden was like, I'm going to start launching threes. If I can start, I hit it. He hit it efficiently last year. Can he take more? Can he take three or four a game? What could that do? That could change the dynamic. One note on DeRozan's three-point shooting, cleaning the glass. Last year had him on corner threes, 39% on corner threes. He was 28 of 71 from the corner. 33% everywhere else, but 39% from the corner.
Great. I mean, again, it's about having someone that's like capable of taking that shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like you're going, okay, run this play to shove DeRozan in the corner every single offensive possession. No.
Yeah. Last year, 61% of his attempts came from the mid-range. 30% were from short mid-range. That number was at 30, and long mid-range at 31%.
So fun.
So
I'm excited.
Dude, there's a lot to be excited about. It was just
a good midi.
Just thinking about how this day started, hearing Malik just vibe with this city, as someone who cares about the city so much, I just love hearing when a player like connects with him. Like, you see what I see, man? Tell these other players around the league. And so to see DeMar DeRozan, like, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's such a cool day. And, like, just being in Sacramento, California Classic, the lower bowl almost full, watching summer league games in July.
Insane.
There's no, like, number one pick out there tonight. The Hornets had some of their guys missing. Stephon Castle played for the Spurs, which is cool. He's got talent, but, you know, like, Devin Carter's out. Like, he probably would have been more of a draw.
Yeah.
And then tonight, Monty McNair comes out of the tunnel. The fans are chanting Monty McNair's name. They were calling him Vest Boy last week and burning vest. Didn't they have, like, big vest burning at the Capitol?
And yeah, that's what they had.
There was, like, 30,000 vests they burned.
Correct.
In protest of Monty McNair last week. Tonight, they were chanting his name.
Correct. And everyone was wearing a vest. Yeah,
and everyone there was wearing a vest. It was 113 degrees wearing vests.
Oh, my God.
And then, anyway, they're chanting his name. Then, of course, when DeRozan comes out, holy shit! But it was like a WWE event. What's next? Then De'Aaron comes out, and he gets the pop, too, the crowd.
Him and Rosé. Yeah. It's like, no, they're a team. Like, you're getting the pop. Yeah, that was it was special, because that's it. I mean, basketball means so much to this city, and I think any real basketball junkie or professional basketball player that can see that, like, they can feel how special it is, and they get to also experience that. And when you get to experience that, there's nothing like it. So, and you talk about, like, how special today is. I just even on a professional level, you know, despite technical difficulties, which really frustrate me. But like on your birthday, like you got to call a game on NBA TV. That means on NBA TV, you've done color, play-by-play, and sideline now before.
Yeah. Like, it's really cool.
That is so cool that you've done every role. I've done color. That's my thing. But I'm so happy for you, DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, California Classic, this city. What a day.
I feel like there's just points in my career, and I do this on the podcast where I just go, oh man, I just feel so grateful, blah, blah, blah. And I've said it 800 times, but legit, like, as someone born and raised in Sacramento, I know it's going to shock most of you. Deuce Mason turned 36. And I know, I hesitate saying that because I know people are like, I thought you were Gen Z, bro.
Ew, that's not what a Gen Zer would say.
I didn't say that was a Gen Zer. I thought that was someone in the chat saying, I thought you were a Gen
millennial.
Z. No, like, low key, I thought you were Gen Z. No cap. And
that's not what they even do anymore.
Okay.
It's more like dead ass and like
whatever. Dead ass. dead ass, like low key.
Okay.
Low key.
You sound 40 right now, so please
low
stop.
Low key. So anyway.
Oh my God.
I still feel like a kid. You know why? Because I am in the team I was obsessed with growing up. I'm doing a game with Mark Jones today. I'm doing Spurs and Hornets on NBA TV with Mark Jones, the best guy. Yeah. Love doing that game with him. I'm doing Spurs Kings tomorrow on ESPN2. An amazing, like that from a professional level. Yes, 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 yes. Doing this in my hometown. Huge win. Malik Monk. That was cool today. I love that guy. And then DeMar DeRozan. I'm like, what a birthday. Like, this is like a memorable for me because I
even said to you,
holy shit.
I said, does it feel like this is in the middle of us running from Malik Monk to go talk to Team China to come back at 3 o'clock, blah, 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 all these things. And I said, does it feel like your birthday? And you were like, well, no, I mean, I didn't imagine working on my birthday. And I go, oh my God, I wish this was my birthday. All I want to do is work and call a game on my birthday, but it's in September. So you're very lucky, and I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm very so lucky. Happy for you too.
And then, you know, they give me a shout out at the arena, put me on the big screen. Low key, pretty cool, man.
I love that. You love that. That was cool. And they got you a cake from Estelle's.
Yeah.
That's an expensive cake.
It was good.
What kind of budget is that?
No. Anyway, what a day. A day. We got a couple of games to do tomorrow, and then the next day for the California Classic. Oh, no, there's day off in the California Classic, and then we go to Vegas. But we're going to have full coverage of all of this, dude, and we're going to continue this. We had to pop on tonight for an emergency podcast. This is I'm not trying to overstate it, but like, and maybe this is not saying much as we enter year 40 of Kings basketball in Sacramento, but this is a big-ass free agent signing. It's a huge signing for the Sacramento Kings, and now they can make some noise in the West, and we can have a little fun next year. And I'm excited to see how the rest of the offseason plays out. But, dude, like, if you're a Kings fan tonight, soak this shit up,
yeah,
man.
I agree.
DeMar DeRozan is a Sacramento King. It's real.
Dude. It's, I think that's it. Just celebrate what it is. And you don't have to, because the thing I keep thinking, well, how's it going to work? What's it going to look like? Enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
You can worry about that as it gets closer. Let everyone else worry about that. Enjoy, celebrate, and never forget on Deuce's 36th birthday was the day that DeMar DeRozan came to Sacramento.
And there's been some people in the chat saying, Deuce, do a shoey. I did say I would do a shoey if Brandon Ingram was a Sacramento King. I didn't say anything about DeMar DeRozan.
Right? That's true. Right.
I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with us tonight. One other fun. I want shout out Damian Barling, dude. Damian Barling's been all over this story.
Dude, that's awesome.
He was doing it before Woj and all those guys.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see some local guys like break some stuff and be accurate.
Yeah.
Be very accurate.
Love
it. Crushed it.
Obviously, Sean Cunningham as well tonight.
Sean Cunningham. I mean, he was all over this too. So, like, a lot of love for doing that because that stuff's not easy. Those type of things don't get handed out.
Yeah.
Okay? You have to work for those. So anyway, cool to see all that. But we'll have more coverage of California Classic, Summer League, signings.
Thank you for DeRozan. All the super chats. There's a few more, too. We appreciate you guys, all the birthday shout-outs, all the other questions about any other trades or anything, too. Like you said, we'll be covering everything as we continue.
And thanks for hanging out with me tonight on my birthday. Aww. You guys made it special. We love you guys so, so, so much. But we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.